The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the November-December issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And let's go to the front cover at the top. Do you hear thunder? And we have two players from the Oklahoma Thunder, Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. Right in the middle it says, there's a perfect storm brewing in OKC. Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams are a title threat this year. And the next year. And the year after that. And the year after that. And the year after that. Let's see what's in store for this next 2 months in our issue. The lineup. Faves. Freeze frame. Page 2. Sports cards. Page 7. Hot take. Page 9. On page 13, there's birthdays. On page 27, there's posters. The treehouse on page 31. What's the call? Page 52. Games. Page 53. On page 54, there's art gallery. And page 56, there's Buzz Beamer. Some of our feature articles. Even presidents have time for sports, which can be bad news for spectators, on page 16. Soccer-style kickers have long dominated the NFL. The next trend? Actual soccer players, page 18. On page 20, what if you found yourself trying to coach the Packers to two wins in the first two Super Bowls? Page 34. The Thunder could dominate the NBA for years, while a handful of NCAA schools are double threats. And finally, on page 48, rugby star Ilona Meyer embodies her motto, Beast, Beauty, Brains. And on page 44, let's draw, LeBron. We got three artists to tackle King James in their own way. Pictured here are the sketches we didn't use. And you've got next. Follow their pro tips to draw your own tribute to the chosen one. Freeze frame, page 2. Oh, what did we hear? A basketball game here. The Seattle Storm. Women's WNBA beginner skill. August 18, 2024. Indianapolis Fever. In a few pages, Kip will make the case that rookies shouldn't be rushed. You notice he doesn't mention Caitlin Clark. The Indiana Fever rookie had 23 points, 5 rebounds, and 9 assists against the Seattle Storm in a game in which she set the WNBA rookie record for assists. Clark was named the league's Player of the Month for August, the first time a rookie has won the award. Good job, Caitlin. More to come? Mm-hmm. Freeze frame again. On target. Picture of an archer here. August 31st, 2024, Paris, France. The youngest archer of the 2024 Paralympic Games, 17-year-old Shital Debai of India, was upset in the quarterfinals of the women's individual compound event. Pictured here. But she bounced back to claim a bronze medal in the mixed team compound. Born without arms, Shital draws the bowstring with her chin and uses her foot to steady the bow. Wow. That is impressive. What determination. And now, let's go to who's who in sports. Page 8, top line. Tariq Skubal, Detroit Tigers pitcher. His height is 6'3", his weight is 240 pounds. He was born November 20th, 1996, hometown Kingman, Arizona. Skubal made his first All-Star team in 2024. As of early September, he was leading the majors in wins, 16, and was second in ERA, 2.53, and strikeouts, 208. Skubal pitched at Seattle University, the only Division I school to offer him a scholarship. The Tigers drafted him in the ninth round in 2018. Did you know, though, when Skubal pitched in the 2024 Little League Classic, he wore custom cleats with a Scooby-Doo theme, since many people call him Scoob. Herbert Jones, New Orleans Pelicans forward. His height is 6'8". His weight is 210 pounds. He was born October 6, 1998, hometown Greensboro, Alabama. Jones was named to the NBA's first-team all-defense squad last season, his third in the NBA. At 6'8", he can guard against any position, including center, which he often does in the Pelicans' small ball lineup. Jones averaged a career-high 11 points per game last year. Did you know, after playing 11 seasons as the Hornets, the New Orleans franchise changed its name to the Pelicans in 2013. The next year, the Charleston Bobcats renamed their team the Hornets. Natalie Spooner, height 5'10", born October 17, 1990, hometown Scarborough, Ontario. In the first year of the Professional Women's Hockey League's existence, Spooner took Toronto to the championship, leading the league in goals 20 and points 27. She was named the Billie Jean MVP. Spooner played collegiately at Ohio State, where she scored a school record 100 points. Did you know? Toronto's game against Montreal on April 20th drew a crowd of 21,105 fans, the largest crowd ever to see a women's hockey game. Warm-up, hot take, rookies, give them a rest, by Kip Shoremore. Sometimes you can't help but wish a player had started their career earlier. Randy Johnson didn't get in a full major league season until he was ancient, 25 years old. But he ended up with 4,875 career strikeouts. If only he had started at a more reasonable age, he could have been just the second pitcher to fan 5,000 batters. Dennis Rodman began his NBA career at 25 and didn't average double-digit rebounds until he was 29. Kurt Warner became a starting quarterback at 28. Speaking of Hall of Fame QBs, what if Aaron Rodgers hadn't been blocked by Brett Favre until he was 25? Or if Steve Young hadn't stuck behind Joe Montana until his 30s? By age 9, I had already overtaken Buzz Beamer as this magazine's most prominent personality. These kinds of tantalizing hypotheticals don't come up as much anymore. Any highly touted young quarterback will sit for, at most, half a season, not a decade like poor Steve Young. This year, three rookie QBs were named Week 1 starters, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Caleb Williams. For those of us who love a long career with the biggest pile of accumulated stats possible, it's an exciting time to be a fan. At least it was, until Week 1 actually happened. Nix tossed two interceptions and no touchdowns. Williams threw for 93 yards. Daniels managed the best debut of the three, 184 yards passing with two rushing touchdowns. Womp, womp. Maybe there's value in sitting for a while. College offenses and off-season training programs have come a long way. In theory, that means quarterbacks come to the NFL more game-ready than ever. But that's not all that's going on. Consider this familiar tale. An owner hires a new coach to revive a struggling franchise. The coach hitches his wagon to a first-round signal caller. The young passer gets touted as the team's savior. And the coach, hired on promises of a quick turnaround, feels pressured to deploy this potential superstar, find out what he has, and change his team's fortunes. Few coaches in today's NFL have the job security to ignore antsy fans and hand a young QB the clipboard for a year or two. And with quarterbacks going higher and higher in the draft, six in the first 12 picks this year, fewer prospects even end up on teams with a decent vet who can mentor them. No wonder, giving these incentives, that nobody learned from the bench anymore. And when young players are getting to play, they're not necessarily improving. Learning on the job can be tough. Mistakes can be a great teacher, but too many mistakes too soon on a big stage can be demoralizing. Take an example from another sport. Cliff Lee, a fairly highly touted prospect. Lee was one of four players sent from Montreal to Cleveland in the infamous Bartolo Colon trade in 2002. Cleveland called up the young pitcher that year. He had an up-and-down 5 years before the team sent the struggling Lee, then 28, back down to the minors. When he returned to the bigs in 2008, he went 22-3 with a 2.54 ERA and won the American League Cy Young Award. He played six more seasons as one of baseball's top hurlers. Viewed through the lenses of Lee's career, Johnson seems more like a blueprint than what if. Had Cleveland sent an inconsistent young Lee to AAA sooner? Would he have blossomed sooner? Maybe a chance to break into the majors with a little more seasoning, like Johnson would have elevated a very good career to a slam-dunk Hall of Fame case? Every league has examples of dudes who put up big numbers as rookies and then never repeat them. Robert Griffin III, Jahlil Okafor, Nail Yukubov, etc. Lots of playing time and raw talent can combine for a pretty nice first year. Being the go-to guy on a bad team, though, means a rookie has no one to learn from. They miss out on not just strategic tips, but also examples of how to prepare and practice to ensure they're in it for the long run. I hope Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Caleb Williams have great careers, but it's a lot of pressure to perform right away. Not everyone has the raw capability to come out firing and never let up. What's your hot take? Did you have a question for Skip Shoremore? A complaint? A topic he should write about in a future issue? Send your letters to Kip's Treehouse based editor at kip.shoremore@si.com. Late lefties. With a proper seasoning in the minor leagues, southpaws Lee above and Johnson became two of the game's best hurlers. Warm-up continued. Future stars, Elliott and Miles Gordon. Birthplace, Columbus, Ohio. Sport, bowling. When Elliott, 15, and Miles, 13, were younger, they would sometimes get on each other's case if one rolled a bad shot. That doesn't happen as often now. Not only because the brothers say they're more mature, but also because they are a dynamic duo. At the 2024 Junior Gold National Championships, Elliott and Miles, top photo left, were the first brothers to finish the qualifying round as the top two bowlers in the same division. Elliott went on to win the under-15 title. If we each keep other locked in, says Miles, we know we're probably going to win. Are you a future star? If you think you have what it takes to be a Sports Kid of the Month, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskid@si.com. Warm up. Family matters. Following other footsteps. Many children have gone down the same path as their athlete's parents. Most memorably, Ken Griffey and his son, Ken Griffey Jr., played alongside each other in the outfield for the Seattle Mariners in 1990. And something similar could happen in the NBA this season now that Bronny James and his dad, LeBron, could share the court. But not all offspring stick to the sport they grow up watching their parent play. Pat Mahomes and Patrick Mahomes. Pat enjoyed an 11-year major league career as a pitcher. So his son grew up in the clubhouse, as the elder Mahone put it. Patrick was good enough to be picked by the Detroit Tigers in the 2014 draft and spent a season on the Texas Tech baseball team. But eventually he decided his future lay on a different field, much to the delight of Chiefs fans. Petr Korda and Nelly Korda. Both Petr Korda and his wife, Regina Rachitorva, were professional tennis players. Petra was ranked as high as number two in the world, almost as high as the ranking his youngest daughter has on the golf course. Earlier this year, Nelly won five LPGA tournaments in a row. Her older sister, Jessica, is also a golf pro. But the kids didn't totally neglect mom and dad's sport. Brother Sebastian is a tennis pro. Mike Conley Sr. and Mike Conley Jr. The elder Conley was the best in the world at the triple jump for years, winning Olympic gold in 1992. But it was always apparent that his son would go in a different direction. Even as a one-year-old, I was obsessed with bouncy balls, so it was clear basketball was in my future, said Mike Jr., who was in his 18th NBA season. Popeye Jones and Seth Jones. Popeye's 11-year NBA career included many stops, including Hockey Mad Denver. That's where his son Seth picked up the game as a 5-year-old with tips from Hall of Famer Joe Sakic, who played in the same building as Popeye for the Avalanche. Now with the Blackhawks, Seth is a 4-time All-Star. Dennis Rodman and Trinity Rodman. One of the greatest ever at grabbing rebounds, Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman had a daughter who preferred to use her feet. Trinity tried basketball as a kid but fell in love with soccer. Dennis was an amazing athlete, and I got those genes from him, she said in 2021. She's used them well, playing in the World Cup and striking Olympic gold. November 1st. Unique Sports. Return to Sender. At the United States Boomerang Nationals in September, Cam Brossman finished an impressive 19th. Even more impressive, he's only 10 and was competing against athletes of all ages. Cam stumbled onto the sport after watching Logan Broadbent's trick shot videos with Dude Perfect on the internet when he was 4. Cam's dad bought him a boomerang, and they reached out to Broadbent, who became something of a mentor. Broadbent won the Nationals. Boomerangs are a fun hobby, but not many people know that competitions exist. Athletes get points in a variety of disciplines. Some reward accuracy, some reward a competitor's ability to catch the returning boomerang, and others reward style. While Cam enjoys competing against grown-ups and is very good at it, he also encourages kids to get out and try the sport. Says Cam, "I think it's cool." Comeback Kid. Cam, who has been throwing for 6 years, says he has around 50 boomerangs in his collection. Go, Cam. 4 score. Putters players. Holding the highest office in the land doesn't mean a person can't have time for sports. And 7 shanks ago. Presidents, even former ones, are protected by the Secret Service. But who protects the public, specifically golf fans, from presidents? Consider the round that Gerald Ford, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton played together with some pros in front of a large gallery at a 1995 tournament. Clinton put his first draw drive into a sand trap. A later shot landed in someone's yard. Ford then yanked his ball into the crowd. A later shot hit a woman's finger. Bush's second shot on the first hole also struck a woman. A few holes later, he doinked a man with a ball. Explained Clinton, "We were nervous as cats." Running mates. Mascot races are a staple of baseball games, especially Nationals games, where oversized presidents have been taking a lap in the middle of the fourth inning since 2006. Can you ID the 6 competitors from 2015 race? Calvin Coolidge, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, William H. Taft, and George Washington. First fans. William H. Taft became the first president to throw out the first pitch at a baseball game at the Washington Senators' 1910 opener. He stayed all 9 innings and reportedly enjoyed himself probably more than Secretary of the Senate Charles G. Bennett, who took a foul ball to the head. He was fine. Ford on the field. So who has been the best presidential athlete? George H. W. Bush played baseball at Yale. Abe Lincoln was a wrestler. Teddy Roosevelt was a boxer. But they can't top Gerald Ford Above, who won two national titles as a football player at Michigan, garnering interest from the Packers and the Lions. Honor Roll. For his birthday in 1947, Harry Truman received a bowling alley, which was installed in the White House basement. 8 years later, it was moved from the residence so more people could use it. But Richard Nixon, Above, in 1970, bowled on it so often that he had a new alley installed in the White House in 1973. Bracketology. One thing Americans of all political ideologies can agree upon is that when March rolls around, you fill out an NCAA tournament bracket. It's unlikely any president has been a more avid hoopster than Barack Obama, who made a tradition of making his men's and women's picks on national television. Page 18 and 19. Football or football? How it started, how it's going. Soccer-style kickers completed their takeover of the NFL years ago. Now there's a new trend, actual soccer players hitting the gridiron. Plenty of NFL players had big seasons in 1982. Chargers quarterback Dan Fouts threw for 2,883 yards in the strike-shortened nine-game season. That translates to 5,446 in a 17-game season. His top target? Wes Chandler had 1,032 receiving yards in eight games, the equivalent of 2,193 in a full season. But the MVP award went to Washington's Mark Moseley, a kicker. Now, we're not disparaging Moseley. He made 20 of 21 field goal attempts. But if the voters who were wowed by that performance could see that state of kicking now, their minds would be totally blown. Moseley began his career in the early 1970s when most kickers booted the ball straight on. When he retired after the 86 season, he was the last of that breed. Every kicker since has used a soccer-style approach. Now there's a new trend emerging, soccer players making the transition to football relatively late in life. And if Brandon Aubrey of the Cowboys keeps kicking like he has since the start of last season, we're going to be seeing a lot more crossover cases. A lifelong soccer player, Aubrey was drafted in the first round of the Major League Soccer Super Draft out of Notre Dame by Toronto FC in 2013. After two seasons toiling in lower divisions, he retired from soccer. As he was considering what to do with his life after soccer, Aubrey was watching an NFL game with his wife. She saw a kicker and suggested Aubrey could do his job just as well. So Aubrey signed up for a free class in Dallas with Brian Egan, the founder of the Performance Kicking Academy. Egan's classes were normally taken by kids in middle school and high school. After Aubrey kicked, he had what Egan called a grown man conversation about whether or not Aubrey had a future. They decided he did and started working together to transition from football to football. There's 100 different ways to strike a soccer ball, says Egan. They put spin on the ball, there's passing, shooting, long kicks, and then when you translate that into football, it's just one specific ball strike that you're looking for each time. It's an important one. In 1982, when Moseley was the MVP, teams made an average of 1.2 field goals per game and converted 68.2% of their kicks. Last year, those numbers were 1.7 and 85.9%, and distance has never been more significant. In Moseley's MVP campaign, the longest kick he made was 48 yards, and he didn't even attempt a 50-yarder. Last year, when Aubrey was 36 of 38 kicks in his first season with the Cowboys, he made all 10 of his attempts from 50 or longer. And in week one of this year, he had a 66-yarder nullified by a penalty. As participation in youth football dwindles, teams are certain to explore new avenues for players. Thanks to Aubrey, that will include soccer teams. Fast Facts. Carson Beck, number 15, Georgia Bulldogs quarterback. As a junior in 2023, Back completed 70.4% of his passes as he led Georgia to a 13-1 record. After the Dogs were snubbed by the CFP, Beck led the team to a 66-3 rout of Florida State in the Orange Bowl. This year, he threw for 278 yards against the number 14 Clemson in week one, then tied a school record with five TD throws the following game. And then we have Flau J. Johnson of LSU Tigers. Pass facts. A year after helping LSU to the national championship and being named SEC Freshman of the Year, Johnson averaged 14.9 points and 5.5 rebounds per game last season for the Tigers. Johnson also raps. She appears on America's Got Talent when she was 14 and released her first album, Best of Both Worlds, over the summer. And what's the call? End zone. What's the call? Number one, Fetch, Buzz, and Whitney are closing out a round of golf at the Treehouse Country Club. Buzz whacks his approach shot towards the green, then whistles and yells, "Go get it, boy!" Buckethead then chases down the ball, and as it is still rolling in the fairway, picks it up in his mouth and deposits it in the hole. Whitney is outraged. Buzz is elated. What's the call? Do 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 do. The call? The ball is placed at the point where Buckethead picked it up. However, if Buzz could have trained Buckethead to deflect the ball into the hole, he'd have a case for the shot counting. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.